الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس إن وعد الله حق، فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected ulama, honorable elders and brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our respected Mufti Sahib, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, very briefly but comprehensively discussed two verses of the glorious Quran. And these two verses discuss the same topic. In the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the insignificance of worldly pleasures. And in the second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborates on the significant everlasting pleasures of the hereafter. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. The pleasures of this world, the desirous items of this world, have been made attractive to the human. What are these items? Minan nisa, women, wal banin, children, والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة, heaps of gold, heaps of silver, والخيل المسومة, gorgeous horses, beautiful horses, والأنعام, cattle, animals, goats, cows, والحرث, farmland, cultivation. After listing all these items, which were items of desire, items that attracted the human towards it. And these were the common items that existed in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And it is for this reason only these items have been mentioned in this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after listing these items, says, ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. These are paltry, insignificant benefits of this worldly life. They are not important. They are not significant. And we can add many more things to this list in this day and age. Film, desirous item, music, something that attracts people. Drugs, something that attracts people. Everything that attracts people towards it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this first verse that these things are very insignificant. In comparison to these items are coming the pleasures of the hereafter. قُلْ أَوْنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Gardens of paradise, وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ, pure wives, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, and the pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned pleasures of two different lives. Pleasures of this life and pleasures of the eternal life, the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after putting this choice forward to us, encourages us to choose the hereafter. Choose the pleasures of the hereafter. He says, قُلْ أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ. O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people, tell your ummah, tell your followers, ummate ijabat, and tell also ummate da'wat, those who have not yet accepted Islam. أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ. Shall I not inform you of those pleasures which are far more better than these pleasures? لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Allah is exhorting us, encouraging us to go for these pleasures of the hereafter. Those people who wish to acquire the pleasure of the hereafter will have to sacrifice the pleasures of this world. And those people who are not prepared to sacrifice the pleasures of this world will be deprived of the pleasures of the hereafter. It's a simple choice. Go for the pleasures of this world and deprive yourself of the pleasures of the hereafter. Or suppress your desire. Abstain from unlawful desires of this world and hope for the everlasting desires of the hereafter. Now, what is it that distracts our attention from the real pleasures of the hereafter? It is our nafs. And the nafs can have three stages. Stage number one, ammara. Stage number two, lawwama. And stage number three, mutma'inna. Nafsi ammara is when it is at its lowest ebb. And its function is to always distract the person from the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the remembrance of the pleasures of the hereafter, and engage him, involve him in pleasures of this world, be they lawful or unlawful. This is nafsi ammara. Every moment, every second, it is always engaging us, engaging the person who it belongs to, in sinful activities, in pleasurable activities. It is not prepared to sacrifice any pleasure whatsoever, be that pleasure lawful or unlawful. This is nafsi ammara. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. This nafs, when it is at its lowest ebb, and when it is nafsi ammara, it continually orders and instructs a person to do evil. It is unable to instruct a person to do evil when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon that person. If Allah's grace is not with that person, then this nafs will always guide, instruct, encourage this person to go towards sinful activities. Why? Because it finds pleasure in sinful activities. Drugs, alcohol, gambling, lustful gazes, cinema, club, dancing, disco, film. Inna nafs al ammaratum bisu. And when this nafs is at its lowest ebb, after disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it never feels regretful. There is no remorse, no regret whatsoever. And because there is no remorse, there is no regret, after committing one sin, it encourages the person to commit another. It derives pleasure from a third, from a fourth, from a fifth. It just continues. When a person makes a firm resolution and he decides that now I want to change, I want to bring my nafs under control, I need to worry about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I need to worry about Jannah, I need to create the concern to save myself from Jahannam, from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to look for peace of mind, contentment of heart, I need to do something. With this concern, with this worry, he takes the first step towards effort for deen. I want to become religious. I want to become muttaqi. I want to become the friend of Allah. I want to acquire the proximity of Allah. I want to acquire the attention of my Creator. I want to save myself from Jahannam, and I would like to acquire the blessings of Jannah. I would like to save myself from the displeasure of Allah, from the wrath of Allah, and I want to acquire the pleasure of Allah. He begins to exert effort. And there are many things that he will have to do in order to exert this effort. Number one, he will have to constantly remind himself that this world is temporary. Constantly he will have to remind himself to come out from this position of ammariyat and elevate himself from this position where he is. He will have to constantly remind himself that soon he will depart from this world. Sooner rather than later, he will depart from this world. This life is temporary. This enjoyment is temporary. This life is temporary, so this enjoyment is temporary. This life is temporary, so all the luxuries of this life are temporary. This life is temporary, so the wealth is temporary. This life is temporary, everything associated to this life is temporary. He will have to continually remind himself. He will have to sit in gatherings where he is reminded of this fact. He will have to spend his time in those environments where he is continually reminded that this life has no value in comparison to the hereafter. This life will end very quickly, very soon. Death is around the corner. and thereafter you will be placed in the grave. And then he needs to continually remind himself of those circumstances that he will have to face if he does not repent sincerely in the grave. Then he will have to constantly remind himself of what will happen in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Then he will have to constantly remind himself that he will have to cross the Sirat. And without amal saliha, he will not be able to depart in a peaceful manner from this world. It is possible that he may lose his iman. Without amal saliha, there is no guarantee that a person will be able to leave this world with iman. Yes, if he, despite his evil deeds, despite having no amal saliha, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him grace and he leaves this world with iman, then sooner or later, ultimately he will enter Jannah. But there is no guarantee that he will be granted Husn-e Khatima. Husn-e Khatima is guaranteed only to that person who follows the Sharia, who follows the deen 100%. And part of following the deen 100% is whenever he slips, because we are not immune from sins, we are not anbiya. So part of following the deen 100% is whenever he slips, he does not wait for tomorrow. He does not wait for Friday. He does not wait for Shab-e-Barat or Shab-e-Qadr. He does not wait for Makkah Mukarrama or Madinah Munawwara. He does not wait to go in the path of Allah. He immediately repents. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. These are the qualities of the muttaqeen. Muttaqeen do not become immune from sins. Only anbiya are masoom. Even after acquiring the noor of taqwa, a person will slip now and then. But the quality of a muttaqi is that his heart, after being decorated with the noor of taqwa, will not be able to tolerate the filth of sin. That is the difference between a muttaqi and a non-muttaqi. A non-muttaqi will not feel the dirt of sins. He will go rushing towards sins. He will enjoy music. He will enjoy films. He will enjoy bad company. He will enjoy the sleep at the time of Fajr. He will enjoy sins. He will not feel the filth of sins. As far as a muttaqi is concerned, he is very, very particular. He has hatred for the filth of sin. It is like somebody who is very, very fussy, very, very clean. When he is walking during the rainy season and he is crossing puddles, he will be very, very careful. And somebody who is not so clean, he will just walk through it. So non-muttaqi is like that person who will just walk through the puddles without even thinking. And a muttaqi is that person that when he is crossing the puddles, he will be very, very careful. Umar radiallahu ta'ala once asked Tab al-Ahbar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great tabi. Umar radiallahu anhu asked him that, "Oh Ka'ab, can you define to me what taqwa is?" He said, "Oh Amirul Mu'minin, I will ask you a question. Have you ever in your life walked on a path which was surrounded by thorny bushes and trees on both sides and the path was very narrow?" Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Yes, that has happened." He said, "When you entered that path, what did you do?" So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Well, I got hold of my clothes, my lungi, my lower garment, my top garment, and I made sure that it doesn't get stuck in the thorn. And I remained like this until I crossed that narrow path." Ka'b al-Ahbar rahimahullahu ta'ala said, "Oh Amir al-Mu'minin, that is taqwa. That is taqwa. When you are walking, when you are living this worldly life, you are walking a very, very narrow path with thorns of shaitan on one side and thorns of nafs on the other. And you have to walk very, very careful." So a non-muttaqi will not be careful at all. He will just walk through the puddle. He will just walk through whatever filth is lying on the ground. But a muttaqi will be very, very careful. "Shall I go to this wedding or not? Shall I go to the hall for walima or not? What will happen in the hall? Is there music or not?
Because he dislikes music. He dislikes disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is like a very pure and clean person not being able to tolerate the filth of urine on his clothes. The filth of blood on his clothes. Similarly, a muttaqi cannot tolerate the filth of sin. So he will stay away from sins. But if, because he is not a Nabi, once in a while, once in a year, once in 6 months, once in 3 months, overcome by circumstances, overcome by nafs, overcome by shaitan, he becomes neglectful of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he commits a sin. And because of this sin, a dirty spot has come on his heart. Now because the heart is engulfed with the noor of taqwa, this noor will not be able to tolerate that filth. And he will not be able to rest in peace until he prostrates before his creator. And with total regret, he does not say to his creator, "Oh Allah, forgive me, I will not do this again." This is the sign of a muttaqi. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِ. So friends, I was saying that the lowest ebb of the nafs is nafs-e ammara. And the function of nafs-e ammara is always ordering you to do wrong. Always ordering you to do wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants people tawfiq through good company, through majalis, through going in the path of Allah, through sometimes being able to talk to people about deen. Some da'i brothers are talking to this person and he suddenly worries about deen for a few seconds. A few seconds, a few moments. A friend brings him along in a bayan and for a few moments this thought comes in his mind that, yes, I need to do something. Nafs is always ordering him to do wrong. But sometimes this is also the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he shows light. And when he shows light, this person uses this light as an opportunity and now he makes a firm resolution that I need to do something. I need to do something to bring this nafs from its lowest ebb and elevate it to the second stage, nafs-e lawwama. So he exerts effort. And from the many things that he needs to do, from the many things, for example, the first thing he needs to do from the many things is to continually remind himself of death and continually remind himself of standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Continually remind himself of death. Maut ahista aakar ye boli, ab chalo saath mere e bhai. Silently, death came creeping and it said, "Come with me, O my brother. Hukme Rab se tumhe lene aayi, ab chalo saath mere e bhai." I have come with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have come to take you with me. Come with me now. It is time to depart. Saath jayegi na malo daulat, unko ho jayegi tumse nafrat. Saath jayegi neki burai, ab chalo saath mere e bhai. This wealth will not come with you. This wealth will begin to hate you. And similarly, you will begin to hate wealth. You will begin to hate wealth. Because the wealth will not be able to help you at the time of departure. Saath jayegi neki burai. Only good and evil will go with you. Ab chalo saath mere e bhai. Come with me. Jaake mitti mein sona padega. Takiya bistar bhi mitti ka hoga. Kide khayenge laash tumhari, ab chalo saath mere e bhai. Jaake mitti mein sona padega. You will have to sleep on the soil. Takiya bistar bhi mitti ka hoga. The pillow and the bedding will be of soil. Kide khayenge laash tumhari, the worms will eat your body. Ab chalo saath mere e bhai. We need to constantly remind ourselves. Constantly. It is for this reason we find in the treasure of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, scores of ahadith talking about the circumstances at the time of death. What will happen to a pious person? What will happen to an impious person? Talking about the circumstances in the grave. What will happen to a pious person? What will happen to an impious person? The circumstances of the day of judgment, the resurrection, what will happen to a pious person, what will happen to impious person? The pulsirat, what will happen to a pious person, what will happen to impious person? Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being very, very busy, despite wanting to teach the ummah everything that the ummah was going to require until the day of judgment, within a span of 23 years, spend so much time talking about qabr, talking about hashr, talking about the time of death? Why? Because this is the cure. This is the cure to elevate your nafs to the status of mutma'inna. We need to continually remind ourselves that this life is very short. The comfort of this life is very short, and the suffering of this life is very short. And we need to remind ourselves that the comfort of the hereafter is everlasting, and just like the comfort, the suffering of the hereafter is everlasting. We need to remind ourselves, my friends. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Hakim rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted his couplets, اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع عسى أن يكون موتك بغتة كم صحيح رأيت من غير سقم ذهبت نفسه الصحيحة فلتة. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says, اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you life, He has granted you the vigor of youth, He has granted you health, He has granted you wealth. Utilize all these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in acquiring His pleasure. Utilize it quickly. This is an opportunity that Allah has granted you. Why? Asa yakuna mautuka baghtatan. It is possible that your death may strike you suddenly. Suddenly, before the death strikes you, utilize all these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in acquiring His pleasure. And then further, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says, kam sahihin ra'aytu min ghayri suqmin. There are so many healthy people I have seen in my life who were never sick, never had a headache. Zahabat nafsuhu sahihatu faltatan. But they went to sleep at night and did not wake up in the morning. We need to remind ourselves that death is definitely going to come. And it will come sooner rather than later. And it may come suddenly. It may come suddenly. And it is not difficult to convince ourselves in regard to this matter, because we see these incidents on a daily basis. We hear so many people dying at the age of 20, at the age of 25, at the age of 30, at the age of 35, without any sickness, without any illness. It is possible that the next janazah to be lifted in Harare could be mine. Ya sahibi, la taghtarir bitana'umin, fal'umru yanfadu wal-na'imu yazulu, idha hamalta ala al-qubur janazatan, fa'alam bi annaka ba'daha mahmulu. Ya sahibi, oh my companion, oh my friend, oh my associate, la taghtarir bitana'umin, do not deceive yourself because of the favors you are in. Do not deceive yourself because of this life, because of this health, because of the vigor of youth, because of wealth, because of status, because of influence that you enjoy in the community, because of all the luxuries that you have, because of your business, because of your factory, because of your shop. لا تقترن بتنعم فالعمر ينفد والنعيم يزول. Because it is a reality, it is a fact that definitely this life will come to an end. And it is possible that before the life, the luxuries may come to an end. Either you will leave the luxuries behind you, or the luxuries may leave you. Have we not heard incidents of people becoming, of millionaires becoming poor overnight? In the earthquake and tsunami affected areas, yesterday's philanthropist becomes a beggar today. Allah has power and control over everything. It is Allah who controls everything in the universe. He can make the rich poor and poor rich instantly, within seconds. وہ جو چاہے تو قطرہ قطرہ کو سمندر کر دے وہ جو چاہے تو یتیموں کو پیمبر کر دے. He can do anything. It is he who saved Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from the well of Kinaan, and he put him on the throne of Egypt, and it is he who removed Fir'aun from the throne of Egypt and drowned him in the ocean. Allah has power over everything, my friends. We need to constantly talk about the greatness of Allah. We need to constantly remind ourselves that it is only Allah who controls the loss and benefit in this world. Harm and benefit is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to continually remind ourselves that this life is very short. If I live to see my 60th birthday or 70th birthday, even then the life is very short. But it is possible that I may not even live to see tomorrow. فَالْعُمْرُ يَنْفَدُ وَالْمَعِيمُ يَزُولُ. This life is going to come to an end. All your favors which are deceiving you are going to come to an end. إِذَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً. When you carry somebody's janaza in the qabrastan, then at that time, take out this thought from your mind that Ibrahim bhai is going or Ahmed bhai is going. At that time, remind yourself, فَعَلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُولُ. Remind yourself that it is possible that the next janaza that is carried in this qabrastan is yours. It is possible. When we, my friends, remind ourselves of the hereafter, of the qabr, of death, of standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَ إِبْنِ آدَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسَلَ عَنْ خَمْ. To move from his place until he is asked five questions. An umrihi fima afna, life, where did you spend your entire life? Wa an shababihi fima abla, where did you spend your entire youth? Wa an malihi min ayna iktasabahu, regarding wealth, did you earn your wealth through lawful means? Wa fima anfakahu, and where did you spend your wealth? Did you spend your wealth according to the wishes of the Creator? This wealth does not belong to us, my friends. This life doesn't belong to us. If this life and this wealth belong to us, Allah would not have had the right to question us on the day of Qiyamah. And it would have been very easy for us to say, oh Allah, don't ask me about my life where I spent. It was my life. Don't ask me about my wealth. It was my wealth. This wealth and this life is a trust. It is an amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has regulated for us the use of money, the use of life. And if we do not use our life and use our wealth according to those regulations, we will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمْ. And how much did you practice your knowledge? Five questions. Every single person will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, on the day of Qiyamah, these people will be divided into three categories. First category will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and without any questioning, the person will be brought for questioning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide not to question. And he will say, go in Jannah. You go, move, go. These are the people who will be granted entry into Jannah without any hisab, without any account. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us from this list. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create all the means and resources for us to become part of this list. 70,000 people from my ummah will be granted the opportunity to go in Jannah without any questioning. And look at the mercy of the Creator. These 70,000, when they will reach the doors of Jannah, the angels will come between them and the doors of Jannah, and the angels will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to speak to you, return again. Now they will have hope and fear both. What's happening? Why are we being called again? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you are my very, very special servants. So special, that each of you choose 70,000 to take with you without any account. So this is the first group that will enter Jannah without any questioning. The second group will have to go through questioning, but this questioning in the terminology of hadith is known as al-ard. And the second group, that is the third group, that will have to undergo questioning, will have to go through the questioning which is known in the terminology of Sharia as Munakasha. Al-Ard. Al-Ard means, where did you spend your entire life? Before he can answer, he will be asked, hold on, talk about your youth. Before he can answer, Allah will say, leave your youth on one side, where did you earn your wealth from? Before he can answer, Allah will say, where did you spend it? And before he can answer, Allah will question, how much did you practice on your ilm? And before he can practice, Allah will say, okay, just go. This is arz. He will be questioned, but no interrogation. No interrogation. This in the terminology of Sharia is known as Hisab-e-Yaseer, light reckoning. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would continually make dua, Allahumma hasibni Hisab-e-Yaseera. Oh Allah, when you reckon me, and if you reckon me with a light reckoning. And this is also equivalent to being granted entry into Jannah without reckoning. Because it will be a form of a reckoning, but in reality there will be no reckoning. And then comes the third category. Munakasha, may Allah say all of us. Munakasha. Regarding Munakasha, interrogation, where did you spend your life? You became baligh at the age of 50. Start, open the book of deeds. What did you do? Each and everything will be questioned. Each and every word, each and every item. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith, man nukisha faqad halak. One who will be interrogated, one who will have to undergo munakasha, will definitely perish and go in the fire of Jahannam. He will not be able to save himself. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interrogates. So we need to remind ourselves that one day I will have to die and one day I will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we continually, my friends, remind ourselves of qabr, the fikr of qabr will come in our hearts. When we continually remind ourselves of the day of hisab, the concern for that reckoning will enter our hearts. And this will push us and encourage us to go towards good. And when this pushes us, when this encourages us, we will be able to suppress our desires. We will be able to suppress our desires. A simple example. A habitual smoker, what makes him smoke? Nafs. If you tell him stop smoking, he say, I can't stop. Stop smoking, I can't stop. Stop smoking, I can't stop. If he goes to see a doctor and the doctor says, you are suffering from cancer, and if you don't stop smoking, you will die within a week. The nafs that would not let go of him yesterday will immediately let go of him. Because when the fear of something is created in the heart of a person, then the ability and the capability that Allah has granted every, not only Muslim, but every human to suppress his desires come into action. We all have the ability and the capability to follow the Sharia 100%. Allah has granted all of us the ability and the capability. And we all have that capability and ability right at this precise moment. We all have the same ability. The only difference is that those people who have more fikr of the hereafter are using that ability. And those people who do not have that concern are not using that ability. As soon as the doctor says that you are suffering from cancer, within 1 week you will die if you don't stop smoking. He stops immediately. Where does this ability come from? Until yesterday the nafs was not under control. I can't suppress my desire. It's been a habit for 20 years, 30 years. Where has this strength and ability come today? Similarly, when this fikr of the qadr, fikr of the day of qiyamah will enter our hearts and minds, then we will realize that I do have the ability. We will realize that I do have the capability. And then this person will suppress his desire. And when he begins to suppress his desire, slowly, 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 slowly he will progress. And he will progress until his nafs becomes nafs-e-lawwama. Now what happens? Nafs-e-lawwama? Nafs-e-lawwama is the improved
nafs.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath of nafs al-lawwama, because it is good now. La uqsimu biyawmi al-qiyamati wa la uqsimu bin nafs al-lawwama. What is the quality of nafs al-lawwama? Overcome by desire, it is now and then still committing sins, and more than it should be. But as soon as it commits the sin, because of the effort that it has undergone, some noor of taqwa has entered the heart, so it feels regretful. It feels like, oh, I did tawbah yesterday and I've broken my tawbah again today. I've already done this a dozen times. Now I'm making a firm resolution that it will not happen. Goes 5 days again, the same sin, same lust, same desire, same sin. He feels regretful. He sheds tears. And he is worried, he is concerned. So on one side, he continually remembers death and standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other side, this worry and concern now encourages him to exert effort. And this effort slowly, 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 slowly bears fruit until nafsi ammara becomes nafsi lawwama, and nafsi lawwama becomes nafsi mutmainna. And as soon as nafsi lawwama becomes nafsi mutmainna, he becomes muttaqi. Nafsi mutmainna. Nafsi mutmainna means it will only remain content as long as it obeys Allah. As soon as it disobeys Allah, it will not feel the contentment until it repents and purifies the nafs again. Now the person has controlled the nafs. Once it is under control, it's become nafsi mutmainna. And when it is nafsi mutmainna, now it will not commit sins. If it does, it will immediately repent. So now the doors of Jannat are open for this person, and the doors of Jahannam are closed. The shaitan more or less becomes hopeless, despondent. It is very difficult. It is very difficult to control this person. Why, my friends? Why? Because you have the shaitan, who is our eternal enemy. But it is an enemy outside, not within. And it is very difficult for shaitan to mislead us without another support from within. And that is the nafs. So what shaitan does is, that shaitan zuyyina linnasi hubbu shahawat. Our respected Mufti Sahib explained that it is shaitan who adorns these desirous items. So shaitan decorates these items. Nafs is nafsi ammara, so it falls prey to shaitan. And when nafs falls prey to shaitan, we also fall prey to shaitan. If we work hard on our nafs, if the nafs does not remain ammara, it becomes lawwama. Thereafter, it does not remain lawwama, it becomes mutmainna. As soon as it becomes mutmainna, it does not remain the friend of shaitan. It becomes the enemy of shaitan. It has no connection. And because there is no connection, shaitan cannot influence anything in our body. Shaitan becomes weak now. And it will be very easy to follow the Sharia. So now that he has the nafs under his control, he will be able to follow the whole of Sharia. And one who follows the whole of Sharia will become successful in this world. Allah will grant him peace of mind, tranquility of heart, contentment of heart. Despite having no resources of a luxurious life, he will still feel luxurious. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that people misunderstand between two things. One is comfort. One is rahat, comfort. And the other are the resources of comfort and rahat. What is happening today is, my friends, instead of searching for and striving for rahat and comfort, we are striving and searching for the resources of comfort and rahat. Fridge, freezer, fan, air condition, a good car, a good home, a good bed, a good sofa. These are all resources of comfort. But they can only give comfort if Allah wishes. Comfort does not necessarily come through the resources of comfort. Allah is not in need of the resources of comfort. Allah can give comfort without the resources. I have seen many people in poor countries
sleeping, snoring. The first time I went to India, after migrating to UK, the first time I went, I came to the UK at the age of 10, and I returned to India the first time at the age of 30. So after 20 years, I went to India, and I was walking on a main road in Bombay with a lot of hooting and noise and dozens of people walking on the footpath. This was my first experience after coming to UK. And I saw somebody on the footpath whilst walking, covered in a sheet, and he was snoring and sleeping there. At that moment, this statement of Mufti Shafisa rahmatullahi alayhi came to mind. That comfort and rahat is not in need of the resources of comfort and rahat. It comes direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we find comfort and rahat on our expensive bed, in our expensive sofa, in our Mercedes, in our BMW, it is not because BMW can give us comfort. It is because Allah wishes to give us comfort through BMW. So as soon as we follow Sharia, nafs under control, shaitan's influence is next to zero. We are following the Sharia 100%. The first ni'mat is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us peace of mind, rahat, comfort. With very meager resources of worldly luxuries, a person will feel very happy. He will feel as if he is the king. He doesn't need anything. And nothing will attract him. He is in a hut and big mansion will not attract him. He has a bicycle and BMW will not attract him. To him, bicycle and BMW is same. He is not concerned at all. At the time of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees husn-e khatima. In Qabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees a garden of paradise. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees shade under his throne. At the time of reckoning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees a light reckoning and book of deed in the right hand. On the pul sirat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees that he will help him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees that he will be granted entry into Jannah with Anbiya, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin without having to enter the fire of Jahannam. This is for whom? One who follows the Sharia 100%. And who will be able to do that? One who suppresses his desire. One who controls his nafs. So one who controls his nafs will be able to acquire all these favors. And he will be able to safeguard himself from besukuni, from beqarari. You know, we go to various amils, various people who make taweez. But there is some outside effect. There is no outside effect, it is the inner effect. The heart is not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart does not have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart is filthy with sins. How can you get sukoon? Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. It is only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that hearts find peace. There is no remembrance of Allah. All the time the mind and heart are thinking about wealth, about material progress. There is no worry about the hereafter. At the time of death, he will face difficulties. In the grave, he will be tormented. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be nobody to give him refuge. He will be interrogated and he will have to go in the fire of Jahannam. So those who control the nafs will be able to follow the Sharia 100%. And those who follow the Sharia 100% will be granted all securities. Those who are unable to control the nafs will not be able to follow the Sharia 100%. And those who are unable to follow the Sharia 100% are not given any guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is the clever person? The clever person is not he who enjoys unlawful worldly desires. The clever one is he who controls his desire. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-qayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. The clever one is he who controls his desires and prepares for the life hereafter. Wal-ajizu, and the feeble one, the weak one, the not clever one, is he, man atba'a nafsahu hawaha, who makes his nafs follow its desires. Whatever the nafs desires, he says, go ahead, go ahead. He does not go against his nafs. Watamanna ala Allah, and who has hopes and wishes only. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, so he will forgive.
Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim, so He will forgive. Yes, when it comes to following the Sharia, Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim, so He will forgive. But when it comes to earning material wealth, then we forget that Allah is also Razzaq. We don't sit in our homes and say, Allah is Razzaq, so whether I go to work or not, He will give me sustenance. So we believe that Allah is Razzaq, but we have to exert effort. Similarly, Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim, but we have to exert effort to acquire His forgiveness and His mercy. So friends, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah from today we will make our akhirat, we will make the life hereafter our objective. And in order to acquire success in the life hereafter, we will exert every effort that is required. We will continually remember that we have to die one day, sooner rather than later. We will leave everything behind, nothing will go with us, and nobody will remember us. Nobody. I always tell my friends that if we become religious and if we associate ourselves with the religious people, then because the religious people know the significance of the grave, they will remember us. But if we do not become religious and associate ourselves with the non-religious people who have no concern for their qabr, when we are laid in the qabr, why would they worry about us? So let us remember the grave, let us remember the hereafter, and let us spend a portion of our lives now and then to bring this fikr of deen, fikr of the hereafter, fikr of the qabr, fikr of jannat, fikr of jahannam, fikr of the pleasure of Allah in our hearts. And inshallah, if we do this, then following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become very easy. Suppressing the desires will become very easy. And let me also remind you that once the nafs becomes nafse mutmainna, it means nafs has become healthy. And when the nafs becomes healthy, then healthy nafs will find a lot of enjoyment in the ibadat. When the nafs is nafs ammara, it is non-healthy nafs. So it is like somebody with fever. If you put biryani in front of him, everybody is enjoying biryani, but he says, I don't feel like eating. It's bitter, I don't feel like eating. A few morsels, no. So is there something wrong with the biryani or something wrong with him? Something wrong with him. So similarly, if we feel that tilawat is boring, salat is boring, going in the path of Allah is boring, ta'lim is boring, and we look at other people who are involved in dini activities, we think to ourselves, oh, it must be a very boring life. We feel that way because we are sick. But we are comparing healthy people with ourselves who is sick. They enjoy every bit of it. They enjoy every bit of it because they are very healthy. So when we exert effort and bring our nafs to the status of nafse mutmainna, then we will enjoy. We will enjoy every bit of it. Every bit of it. A sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala was performing salat. And he had his horse tied next to him. And in those days, a horse was like a Mercedes or a BMW worth thousands. So he was performing his nafal salat. And a thief came and he started untying the reins of the horse. So the people who were far off and who knew that we would not be able to get there in time started to shout that break your salat, your horse is going. So he also realized that people are shouting, and he also felt that my horse is disappearing. But he just continued with the salat. By the time he completed the salat, those people came rushing to him. The horse had already gone. They waited for him to complete the salat. And when he completed the salat, they started lamenting him. You are a fool. You are performing nafla salat. It is permissible to break your nafla salat when somebody is stealing a very valuable item, because you could have performed the qada of this nafla salat afterwards as well. So the horse had gone, and people are lamenting him. He has realized what has happened, but he was smiling. And when they stopped talking and lamenting him, he said, "Ma kuntu fihi aladdu min dhalik." He said, yes, owning a horse is very, very tasty. Those people who are fond of cars, they find a lot of taste in owning great cars, big cars, good cars. That also has a taste. Everything has a taste. World has a taste. Ibadat has a taste. Everything has a taste. So he said, owning a horse was very tasty, But the salad that I was in was more tastier than my host. So host is gone, no problem, but I did not lose my salad. So inshallah you will derive this enjoyment. So we need to exert effort, my friends. Alhamdulillah, you are very, very fortunate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me also the opportunity to come at a time when we are nearing the ijtima of the four countries. And most probably from tomorrow or from Wednesday, the Akabir and the Jamaat will begin to come. I understand Hafiz Patel Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, who I dearly love and who has a lot of affection for me as well, will be arriving on Wednesday, I think. So all these Akabir are coming. Use this as an opportunity to bring this change in your lives. Participate in the Ijtima. Participate with, as Mufti Sahib said, Talab. Talab want. I want Allah and the hereafter. Participate with Ihtiyaj. Become needy there. I am in need of this Ijtima. I am in need of the talks that will take place. And with this Talab, with this Ihtiyaj, if you open your hearts and ask Allah for guidance, Allah will guide you. And make intention to participate in this work. Give time. If you have already been going before, then you already know the work. Those of you who are new, give time. Go for 3 days. Go for 40 days. Try the work out. It is through these efforts we will be able to continually remind ourselves of the hereafter. And my friends, after all, it is the life hereafter that is the real life. So I urge all of you to participate in all the deen activities that are taking place in the masjid, especially this week. Take lot of interest in whatever is happening as far as our ijtima is concerned, and try to participate yourself, and try to take the jamaats that will be arriving today, tomorrow, that are already here, to those of your friends, those of your family members who are not fortunate enough even to come for their salah, and worry about them also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. اللهم خير لنا واختر لنا ويسر لنا أمورنا وألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء لا تسألنا عن شيء واغفر لنا كل شيء. لا تسألنا عن شيء واغفر لنا كل شيء. لا تسألنا عن شيء واغفر لنا كل شيء. ربنا
آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أحب وأحسن إلينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. وصلى الله على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك.